Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Try to bring in the man, the myth, the legend. You know him, you love him. It's Tim Lacombe. Coach, how are you?
If you know me, it's questionable whether you love me or not. But by God, I'm lovable.
How are you? Anybody that knows you loves you. I was watching the press conference, and there you were with, I don't know who you were with, just absolute beautiful girl. And I thought,
a stunner.
And I thought, there's my guy front and center taking in a little Kevin Young press conference. And everybody loves you. Everybody loves you, Coach.
Well, I love you guys. It was awesome to be there last night. And I think I got that seat because Coach Rose was there. And Roger Reed didn't make it. So his name was there. And I just said, hey, Roger, I'm going to sit here in your honor, you know, my wife and I. So we sat there and, brought in a new coach, another BYU coach. We're so excited about Kevin Young joining the family, and it really is a family. And it was awesome to see, like, Danny Ainge and Steve Cleveland and former players. They're all over the place. It was awesome. So incredible day, incredible night, and I think Kevin Young's going to do some really good things at BYU.
So you tweeted out, and I think it was apparent to everybody, that this was the BYU job was a means to an end for Mark Pope. Like, I think he always had his sights bigger than BYU. Kevin Young gives a different vibe. Now, look, if the NBA comes calling or a bigger school, you know, you understand that. But still, this already has a different feel to it than it did with Mark Pope.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the interesting thing, and Kevin, you know, he really is. He's the highest paid NBA assistant and has been on the short list for many jobs. Just listening to him talk basketball, you can see that he's got a real nice approach to it. And I think in his mind, you know, we were able to sit real close, like you said, and we sat actually right behind his family. And he's got three little kids, you know, 11, 10, two boys, 11 and 10, and a little girl, looked to be maybe six or so. And I sat there and looked at him, and that was not too far off of what my kids were, my three kids, when we went there. I was there 12 years. I was able to raise a family while coaching at the highest level, you know, Division I basketball, you know, to be able to go to a Sweet 16 and take your family. It's just so vastly different from the NBA. The NBA is such a grind. It's 82 games, you know. You are gone so much. And so I really believe that this move was for Kevin Young was a way to still coach, you know, and now it's even better because it's the Big 12, but a way for him to coach college basketball at the highest level, raise his family, and do it at a place where he, you know, has a ton of support. So, and then from BYU's angle, I think it's like you said, yeah, you find a guy like that qualified, that's willing to come, yeah, you lock him up for some time to just, as anything, you guys know this as well as anything, continuity is everything now. If you have continuity in anything in college basketball from year to year, you're ahead of the curve.
So what stood out to you the most from his press conference?
I really liked there wasn't a whole lot of hype. I'm not a very big hype guy. I understand there's people that clamor for it, but, you know, my philosophy has always been that authenticity reigns supreme. And what I felt in that room was a bunch of authenticity. I mean, this guy didn't say, you know, people asked him the question about NIL and about recruiting in college. And, you know, the bottom line is it's been a long time since he's recruited in college and the NIL is brand new. And so I think he just said, you know, there are going to be some things. But the smartest answer he gave was, I'm going to surround myself with people that, you know, have knowledge of various different things. He's going to try to get a fairly heavy college basketball base staff, a bunch of experience there. And he knows a lot of people. So, you know, it's not just the people around here. I mean, you know, he's got contacts all over the country. So I what stood out to me more than anything, long-winded answer, was he seems like a guy like Coach Rose, just a guy who you know, more than anything, just wants to have an opportunity to coach and let all the other stuff happen around you. But, you know, lead with your record, you know, lead with what you've actually got accomplished.
So when you look at the landscape of college athletics, obviously the transfer portal's nuts, NIL is getting out of control. You've got several key players from last year's team that are currently in the portal that certainly have options to return. How, and again, kind of a dumb question here, but how much does it help BYU that you've got a guy that's got a pipeline to the pros that can say, hey, look, I've coached at the level. I was almost a head coach at the level. If I'd stayed there, I would have been a head coach at the level. So I know what it takes to be a professional basketball player. Help me help you get you there. That's got to be an appealing thing for some of these players that are considering perhaps going on to a different place outside of BYU.
It's a great observation, Scotty. I think the NBA has always been, you know, that big carrot, just like in college football. The NFL is the big carrot. And, you know, the ability to go do that is so, like, your chances to go play at the next level from college are so minimal. So every advantage that you can get to help you understand what that next level is like. So I think that's going to be huge. I also believe he's a coach that the NBA players liked. You know, he's a guy that, you know, they liked on a personal level, but they really leaned on for development. And so I don't think it'll be out of the ordinary for this place to be perhaps a stopping place for NBA guys that, you know, want to work out in the summertime and want to lean on Coach Young and as a friend and as a mentor. And I think he's got a lot of years in the NBA and a lot of guys that he knows. And that just by virtue of his, again, I'm talking actual work, not pie in the sky, not stuff that we're going to do, but he's put himself in a position to maintain relationships with these guys. And I think just organically, that's going to benefit BYU.
So, Coach, I've been talking to Scotty a lot about the contract situation. This is the first time I've ever heard of a head coach's contract leaking out to anybody. You know, I just in the time that I was there and watched the coaches to watching Bronco and watching other coaches come through, you just don't get contract information. Did BYU have any type of clause in yours or Coach Rose's contract that said, hey, let's keep this secret? And then secondly, have you ever seen a contract get public like his has?
Is the first question. I don't recall having anything, you know, any kind of outside of confidentiality that's written into most contracts, but I don't recall anything special, but to your point, I've never pay's never been discussed. But BYU's never been in the Power Five. I mean, I do think the biggest thing that's changed here, you know, when I first got to BYU, I remember sitting in a meeting and they were talking about the TV revenue, and, you know, TV revenue really drove so much. And when BYU was in the Mountain West Conference, when I first got there and the TV was the mountain, you know, the pledge was that everybody get $1 million. I remember that cause I was in the meeting and that was the TV revenue, $1 million for per school. And, you know, when they went independent, they broke out of that situation. You know, basketball went to the WCC, and they were able to raise that like 10 times, you know, TV revenue doing their own thing. And now you look at the revenue has gone from that to, you know, $35 million. And so bottom line is budgets have expanded. The stakes are higher. Time has gone on. I mean, there was every time I saw Roger Reed, he grabbed me and said, you better be grateful for what you make because you make more than I did as the head coach, you know. And I just think that's the way it works. But it may be an indicator that BYU's all in, you know. I will tell you this much, guys. I met President Reese last night, and he was a breath of fresh air. He seems to be progressive, forward-thinking. Definitely aware of what's going on in the landscape and a sports nut nonetheless. But I was really, really impressed with him.
So let's talk a little Jazz as the season comes to an end. Mercifully, is the off season going to be far more interesting than the last second half of the regular season?
Yes. I mean, for the general fan, yes. Again, a basketball geek like me, there was stuff that happened in that last half that was really important. But your general fan doesn't want to hear that. You know, they want to know you win or lose. And so I think the bottom line is they made steps toward winning more consistently this year. It was painful. And, you know, but I think everybody was warned up front, this is going to be painful. And I think we felt some of that ancillary pain this year. The offseason is going to be fun. I mean, Danny was, I thought, very frank. And you know, I love to listen to that dude talk about basketball, period. But he was very frank about, you know, what this offseason is. And I think the bottom line that what I take from it is we're really close. I mean, you can't totally plan because you got to be, in some ways, you got to see what the market does and see who's actually available. But what I took from it is the Jazz are close. I think they've done a good job to this point. And this is a very pivotal offseason for a lot of different reasons.
Do you know of any players that this organization has their sights on? I mean, I know that there's guys that you absolutely would want because they're tearing the league apart with their scoring and what they're able to do. But do you know of any targets, free agent targets, or unhappy with their organization and contract targets that the Jazz might be looking at?
Not off the top of my head, but I would say that most of that drama will probably unfold here in the next couple of weeks with the playoffs the way where we are. You know, as teams fall out and as teams kind of recalibrate for next year, that's where maybe some of these guys will become available. I mean, I this is me talking, but I look at the Houston Rockets and, you know, Şengün is such a great young player and they did amazing things when he was hurt. You know, they were able to win a lot of games. They played differently. You know, they play a little faster. So just by virtue of that, I wonder, is a guy like that expendable? You know, do they want to move him? And I think that's where the Jazz just have to be aware and ready to strike when guys like that become available.
You have the great Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. If you're Golden State, what do you do with Klay Thompson? You know, they're done. Their payroll's out of control. Klay still wants to get paid, but his best years are certainly behind him. How do you handle that dilemma?
It's rough. I mean, borrow a phrase from my guy, Coach Rose, nothing ends well. And, you know, Klay's had such marvelous years in Golden State, been a part of some just incredible teams, but he's on the tail end of it now. And I think, you know, what happens when a car gets old is you start piecing it out for parts.
Yeah.
And I mean, that may be where Klay fits now. I mean, that's going to be one of the intriguing sideline stories in the off season. But I think, you know, that's kind of what I think he's kind of starting to get in that territory.
Would you ever, I don't know the full extent of Trey Young's situation. I just know that it's been tumultuous, up and down, some injuries, some back and forth, some things. And I don't know where he stands with Quinn Snyder. But how would you feel about Trey Young here in a Jazz jersey?
I'm not huge on little guys right now. I'm not huge on little guys that are ball dominant either. I think he's really good. But I've also heard he's not, you know, through the grapevine in the NBA, might not be the best guy to play with, not the best teammate. And I think John Collins, when he came here, talked about kind of the culture in Atlanta. So I would, for me, think he's a good player. He'd be a good fit in a lot of places, but I wouldn't want him out there as my top guy.
All right. 4-5 matchup in the NBA playoffs. We got a couple of good ones as we're about ready to get things going here in earnest in the NBA. But there's a lot that I think we can get excited about, a lot that we can look forward to in the NBA playoffs. But when you look at essentially what could be an interesting matchup between Cleveland and Orlando, and then in the West where you've got Dallas and the Clippers, who do you think comes out of those series? Because I think Orlando's got a great shot at knocking out Cleveland.
I agree. I actually think Orlando beats Cleveland. Yeah, it's Orlando-Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then Indiana plays Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah.
I think they're going to give them a run. I don't still actually get them, but I think they're going to give them a run. I think Orlando is going to beat Cleveland, and I think the Mavericks will beat the oldest team in the NBA, the Clippers, and I think that might put an end to trying to team up these three in some particular order like they have again.
How quickly will the 76ers dispatch of the New York Knicks in the 7-2?
I'm not ready to say that. I actually really like the Knicks. You know, I like the Knicks because Jalen Brunson, albeit a little guy and fairly ball dominant, so I'm contradicting myself, is one of my favorite players to watch in the league because he's efficient and, you know, he takes the shots he should and he just is competitive. We watched it, you know, he beat the Jazz single-handedly. So but at the same time, that is a really, really rough seeding for them to have to play now with Embiid back in the fold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
His and game last Kyrie night, his game, his couple games since he's been back, it's just awesome what he's doing.
And I love me some Tyrese Maxey. He is worth the price of admission for Philly. So maybe that thing goes 7. I don't think it's going to happen fast.
But I
think the Knicks will fight.
Put it on the record. I've got Philly in 6.
Yeah.
Where are you going, Scotty?
I go 6, yeah. But I'd like to be a little different.
We're all taking Philly out of this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, I don't want to. I'll say Knicks in 7. We'll talk next week.
Ooh, okay. I'm holding you to it.
All right. Coach, you're the best. Thanks for hanging out with us. Love you, dog. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'm going back. I'm eating lunch right now. I'm going to get honked, but I'm eating lunch with Dave Rose and Dave Rice. We're having a little reunion. So.
Yep, honk him. You get a honk for that.
Okay, love you.
Hey, by the way, we had Dave Rice on last week. I think that was a huge get by Slick. Huge
big
get.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here with him. He's getting calls, like 7 guys have called him saying, hey, can we come play for you?
Well, tell him I said hi.
Hey, hit him with because it was a delay. He mentioned whose seat he took, hey, so hit him with one more.
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys. This is the radio station, and they want me to tell you hello. Scott Gerard and Hans Olsen. Okay, Dave Rice and Dave Rose, say hello.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get honked as often as I can.
Now get our picture.
Hold on a second.
Hold on one sec.
Right. Hold on, Dave's got to say something. Coach Rose.
Is Hans there?
I'm here, Coach Rose. How you doing?
Hey, when you sit down and talk to Greg Rubel, okay, tell him that I love the dude and that he's the greatest ever. Someone told me last night that he was always afraid of me. He shouldn't have been afraid of me. I like the dude, man. He's the best.
You're an intimidating presence, Coach.
Greg and I have talked about you, Coach, and as much as you might like him, that guy loves you 10 times more, but you're 100% right. Deathly afraid.
Well, he's the best, man. Greatest dude ever.
We'll get him out there running some gassers. Coach, it's great to hear your voice. Glad you're doing well.
See you, Coach.
Yeah, too. Okay, guys. See you.
There he is. Legendary head coach Dave Rose with Dave Rice. And
Tim just mic dropped me, by the way. He hung
up.
He just mic dropped.
Wow, look at him.
Throw a late honk.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he went as far as, yeah, he threw Coach on.
Okay, here's the thing. He deserves multiple honks because, first off, he's like, well, you know, I was with Danny Ainge, and then I talked to President Reese. And,
yeah, we should have been hitting him. Yeah.
I know, but the whole interview will be a honk. That's what he does.
I know, but I think he's getting used to it.
Look, Mike Smith thought he needs to dial it down a little bit. That got a little out of hand.